What a privilege it is just to be able to step into your presence. Father, thank you for who you are and what you are for every one of us. Thank you, Father, that it's possible for us to be able just to step into your presence. Thank you, Father, for what you do in your presence for us, to us. And Father, tonight we just want to give to you. We just give you all the glory and all the honor for tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good evening to everyone. Now tonight I'm preaching on faith in practice. And I'll try very hard not to talk you to sleep. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation for tonight because I've got computer problems, and this time the problem isn't me. I need to send in my computers to someone. But yeah, we're talking about faith in practice, and I'm going to start off with a scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 12. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Now that's verse 9, but it actually goes on and on and on. Where you can just, verse 24 for instance, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated. Goes on, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. You see, what I'm trying to show you here is with faith a lot of things will happen. But it only happens when someone stand up in faith, when someone choose to have faith. And then there's a different side of the story. We can go to Matthew 17, verse 20. Now, to put this in context, it's where, just want to get the scripture, it's where there was this boy with the demon in him, and Jesus' disciples couldn't get the demon out. So what the people did is they brought the boy to Jesus, and immediately the demon went out. Now verse 20 is Jesus, the way he replied, he starts by saying, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I can see Jesus standing there, the people brought the boy to him. He let the demon go out, and all the disciples were standing around Jesus with this question on their faces and in their eyes, and asking him, but no, how is this possible? And that's why he starts off by saying, because you have so little faith. Because you didn't believe, you weren't able to do this. And Jesus makes it sound so simple, so easy, by saying, if you've got faith as little as a mustard seed. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen a mustard seed. If you take a paper and you take a pen and you make a dot on the paper, that's the size of a mustard seed. So Jesus makes it sound so easy when he say, if you've got that dot of faith, then you can move mountains. Now, the question I basically want to ask is, if it's really that simple, why are we struggling with this thing? You know, why is it so difficult? And there's just another scripture I want to read in Matthew 9, verse 27 to 29. It's where Jesus heals the blind. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Now, this is actually a very important scripture, because he says here, because of your faith. According to your faith will it be done to you. In other words, by the way you believe, if I can put it that way, it will be done to you. So according to how you believe determines the outcome, if you hear what I say. Now, if you realize that, it means that our lives are directly influenced by the way that we believe. So if I believe it's possible for God to do this or this in my life, then it can happen for me. If the next guy don't believe that God operates in that way, then God won't operate that way in his life. You hear what I say? So according to my belief, my destiny is influenced. But it's actually about the way that we live our lives on earth. So what I want to do tonight is I want to give you my testimony, of part of my testimony. I'm not going into all the detail. Basically to try and show you, if you put faith in practice, what happens. But not to glorify myself, but to give God all the glory and all the honor of what he's capable of. And my purpose for tonight, the reason why I really felt that God wants me to speak about faith in practice tonight, is because I believe God wants to stir up in people's hearts. He wants to stir up faith. He wants people to realize what they are capable of and what he is capable of doing through people. And like I said, the scripture that we started off in Hebrews 11, you see all this big men and women of faith and this amazing stuff that they did. But it's because they chose to believe. And each and every one of us, it's not your destiny that God don't want to do something with you or through you or anything like that. It's not that. Is you need to choose to walk in faith. There's a scripture in the Bible that says the righteous will live in faith. That means it's not only, if I can call it this way, for certain tasks, we're supposed to live in faith each and every day. Now for us, my testimony, me and my wife Anna Marie, we got saved in October 2001. And a lot of things happened and so, but we got saved in October 2001. And about a year and a half after that, February of 2003, in the newspaper of Malmesbury, I saw an advert of buildings they want to sell. But they've put it on tender, so you must go look at it and make an offer and so on. And at that stage, I didn't have money for anything like that, but I thought by myself, you know, it's doesn't harm to go look at it. It would be interesting looking at the buildings. Of course, this buildings was, it's a church building with two halls and a house next to it, but it was in a very, very bad condition. It was built in 1871, and the company that owned it at that stage, they wanted to demolish it, but because of regulations and stuff, they weren't allowed to. So what they decided to do is they decided just to leave it, then not to attend to the buildings, and then in time it will fall. So after about 20-30 years of not doing anything to it, it still didn't fall, and they decided to sell it. But now you can picture what it looked like, because when I got there, it's not only about windows that was out, it was about holes through the walls, trees growing on the inside, roofs leaking, that kind of stuff. You know, some of the buildings, we weren't sure if it's possible to fix it up and so on. So it looked very bad. But that was in February of 2003. And I went and looked at all the buildings. And then when I remember when I stood inside the church building, I really had this just this thing of I want, you know, I want this. It's like something I had to do to try and buy this buildings. And while I was standing in this building, the guy was with me, showing me around what there is and how the stuff is working and so on. In my heart, I spoke to God and I asked God, you know, what must I do to be able to be blessed with this? Because I told God at that stage, I've got enough debt and that kind of stuff. So I don't want to go to the bank and go get a loan and buy this building. Anyway, don't have the money to restore it or anything. But is it possible that you can bless me with this? And it felt for me that God spoke into my heart and said, but he already answered me. And that I thought, but you know, that doesn't say anything. Does it mean yes or does it mean no? I don't feel like God is saying to me something, but I really felt that he said that he already answered me. And I went home and I just want to go for this, you know. And I've heard about people being blessed with a car or blessed with a building, and I told God, you know, if you can do it for others, why not for me? And what journey do I have to take with you to be able to receive something like this? And I remember that I had a dream a couple of nights before that, which I didn't understand, so I went back in my little book and go check it up. And the only thing that I dreamed was I saw myself as someone else in the dream, and I told the guy that God gave me Nehemiah 2. Sorry, God gave me Nehemiah 2. Only that. And I go read Nehemiah 2 again, and it's about Nehemiah standing in front of the king, and the king asks him, "What can I do for you?" And he says to the king, I'm not going to read it now, you can go read it yourself if you want to, but he said to the king, he's sad about the condition of the walls. The walls need to be restored and need to be built up, and the gates are broken, and he's describing Jerusalem. And the king tell him, but you can go, I sent you to go, and to go and restore the walls. And in short, in that scripture, the king tells Nehemiah, but I'll provide everything. I'll provide the labor, I'll provide the timber, I'll provide everything. So go and restore the walls. And with that, I really felt that God answered me even before I asked and told me to go and, you know, I must buy these buildings. But it was on tender. So I couldn't just go to someone and say, okay, I want to buy it. You need to fill in forms and put in an offer and so on. And I thought, but you know, if God is paying it for him, for it, he must probably tell me how much, because it's not my money, it's his. So what I did is I phoned up a couple of prayer buddies that I had, guys from different towns, so they didn't even know about each other. And I asked him to go and pray, because I told him, you know, there's something I want to do in faith, but I want you to go and pray and ask God to give you an amount and come back to me. I think about 5 guys. And they all came back to me with the same amount. And then what I did is we filled in the forms for that amount. And I prayed over those papers. And I told God, you know, this is me stepping out, walking in faith. I'm not used to do something like this. I don't think anyone is. And I don't think, even if you've done it more than once, I don't think you'll ever get used to doing something like that. But I told God, you know, I really need to find out from him here. Is it possible for me to be able to walk in faith like this? Just to trust him like this. And I asked him what, I told him basically, we're going to put in the tender. But if I'm wrong, if I'm not supposed to do this, I'm begging him, in the name of Jesus, under the blood of Jesus, not to give me the tender. Because if this thing get accepted, then I'm going to stand in faith that he said I must buy it and he will provide the money for it. And the following week, this company that wanted to sell it phoned me up and they told me, but our tender got accepted. And me and my wife must come in to come sign the purchase papers and stuff, the contracts and stuff for buying the property. And I went in and I asked him, so what did the other tenders look like, you know, the amount, what's the difference between mine and the others? And I said they had a couple of tenders and the one closest to mine was 20,000 rand more than mine, but they don't think that guy got the money to buy these buildings. And when they told me that, I already realized that God is in this. Because where normally they'll give it to the people or to the person with the highest offer, and they didn't do it in the circumstances. And so we signed all the papers. Now asking them, so when do they want the money? My heart was pumping like crazy, felt like it was coming out of my chest. And they told me now, but they first need to subdivide this property from the rest, and that will take a couple of months. So they'll phone me up when everything is sorted, and then we must pay the money. In the meantime, we can we've signed a lease agreement as well. For if for some what reason, when it's time for transfer and the transfer can't happen, then we go on the lease agreement for 10 years. And yeah, so a couple of months later they phoned me up and told me that it's everything is sorted out and we must get the money ready now and so on. I said, okay, I'll do that. And yeah, we've prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and everything, and but the money didn't come at that stage. So now you're standing there thinking, you know, you did all these big things, and because of all of that, I've sold my business. We had to sell the house. We had to sell the car and everything, because of this journey that God put us on. And yeah, so at some stage, the guy phoned me a couple of months later. The guy phoned me. I'm taking out a lot out of the lot of detail out of this testimony, just to keep it short. But a couple of months later, this guy phoned me up and he told me, but he want an appointment with me because we need to sort out the finances stuff. And I made a date with him for 3 days later, so again, so that I've got enough time to fast again and to hear from God, what's the plan here? Where's the money? Why isn't it coming? And so on. And in that time when I fasted, God gave me a scripture of Moses, but of where Moses was had to go to the Pharaoh. And when the moment he gave me that scripture, I realized the money isn't coming now because he's busy with something else here. And the thing that stood out for me on that scripture was the fact that Moses only did exactly what God told him to. When he went and spoke to Pharaoh, he said exactly only what God said and nothing more and nothing less. And I decided to do the same with this MD of this company. So I had my appointment with this guy and I went to him and I told him, we sat down around the table and I told him, listen, I don't have the money at this stage. I told him that God laid it on my heart to buy these buildings, and he confirmed to me that he's going to provide the money for it and everything, but he didn't yet. So I can't pay it now. And this guy is sitting on the other side of the table and he's playing with his pen and he's very quiet in the in his office. And after a while he said to me, okay, he said, I'll trust God with you for the money to come in. He said, but remember the moment my board of directors comes to me and say what they want the money now, then I'm on my own. And I said, no, that's fine. And he said, the other thing is we need to start paying rent then from this month on. We need to start paying rent. And like I said, we didn't really have the income or anything at that stage. And what happened is that same day, God sent someone to me to give us the rent money every month. So from there onwards, we've paid the rent every month. And at a later stage, to give you an idea how much is a later stage, in January of 2006, now that's 3 years after we signed for these buildings, God came through for us. Now, basically, what happened is someone came to me and they said, but they wanted to, maybe we wanted the church at that stage. And someone came to me and said, but they wanted to buy the rest of the property from us. They don't need the church, but they want the rest. And long story short, we subdivided it again and we sold the rest of the property we sold to them. So when they paid out of that money, we were able to pay the company we bought it from, and we sold it for more than double what we've paid for the whole thing. So we didn't pay a cent for that building that we wanted. Actually, we got change from nothing. We got change. And but what I wanted to say about it is it took 3 years, and we had to give everything for that path, if you can call it that way, for that journey. And the thing about it also is that It's not for God that he wanted, okay, this guy wants a building, so I must give him a building now, or anything like that. God wanted to teach me something about faith, what he's capable of when we walk in faith. I mean, there's so many stuff we can, I can tell you about faith where we trusted God for something and he just came through. And small other example is also in that time, I trusted God for a car because we, like I said, we had to sell the car and the everything. And I really trusted God for a car to bless me with a car. And I so believed that he was going to do that, sometimes when someone drove into my driveway, I asked God, is it today? Because I'm waiting for my car. And I can't remember exactly how long, but between a year and 2 years since I started to trust God for the car, someone phoned me the one day and told me but to wait at the gate and bring my ID with me. He's quickly going to pick me up. We must go to the traffic department. So I went to the gate and this guy came and he picked me up and he said, but you know, God laid it on his heart. He must bless me with this car. So we're just going to the traffic department so that he can put it on my name. And it was a Ford Tracer. I can't remember the model, but with 45,000 kilometers on the clock. So you see what I'm trying to say? God is capable of anything. And but what he wants is for us to stand in faith. And what I decided to do for tonight is just broke it down to a couple of practical steps on if you want to walk in faith. And that's not only for to buy something, you know, for anything. If you're in debt and you want to come out of it, if it's whether it's for healing someone that's sick and you need healing for that, for whatever. How to get out of it practical. You know, it's because like I said, if you look at where we started off with the scripture, Jesus made it sound so simple. But so many people and so many of us, we don't ever get to that point, and we need to get to that point. So I've got seven steps, practical steps of what we can do to walk in faith or to live in faith. Now, the first thing is to pray about it. You can't walk in faith if you didn't talk to God about it. Now, the example I want to give you is Peter in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he didn't jump out of the boat. He asked Jesus, you know, I want to come to you. And Jesus told him, okay, come, get out of the boat and come to me. You see what I'm trying to say? Is if you get to a place where you feel or where you believe I need to be able to walk in faith here, the first thing you do is you go to God and to tell him, Lord, this is what I feel in my heart, what I'm supposed to do. Is this correct or not? Well, I'm going to have a simple example maybe, but if I go now and go ask the Lord, you know, I want to buy that house. You see, this is my finances because God's not always working the same way. So he's not always just going to send someone with the money. Sometimes he's just going to provide through your salary so that you can afford it. But if I go ask God now, can I buy this house? In the back of my head, I might think, okay, but I can do anything because I did that. But it don't work like that. I need to make sure find out basically what's God's will here. Is it his will for me to do this thing now or is it not? Because if I'm not supposed to go buy that house and I just say, okay, but I stand in faith and I'm going to buy this house now because God will provide. He did before and he'll provide again. It's not going to work. I'll probably go bankrupt. So that's the first thing is pray about it and make sure what's God's will for you at that stage. And the second thing is confirmation. Because remember when I felt that God said that that is what I'm supposed to do. The first thing I did is I phoned my prayer buddies and asked them to pray with me about this thing and so on. So the first thing, if you feel that God's telling you to do whatever in faith, is go to the people in your cell group and tell them, listen, I've got this thing on my heart. Pray with me that I need confirmation that this is correct. And then you don't have to give people all the facts. You can let God give them some of the facts. Because a lot of times it's so easy that people, if you tell someone, I feel that God's telling me this and this and this, I mean, I can be very convincing. So it doesn't matter who the other guy is. After the thing that I spoke with him, he'll also say, yes, brother, I believe this is what you're supposed to do now, without praying about it. You understand what I mean? Is so make sure that that is what God is saying. So get confirmation from, for instance, your cell group or your pastor or something like that. And then the third thing is build yourself monuments. Now, these monuments I almost want to call foundations. Because if your monuments isn't in place, then you can't stand when the when things get shaky. Then it's impossible to stay in faith. Now, my foundations was, like, for instance, or that monuments, was that day when I prayed over that papers and I told God, okay, this is now, we're standing at a place now where you can stop this thing today. If we get this tender, then I'm standing in faith, doesn't matter what. That was one of the monuments that I built when we did that thing. As I was sure that that was God's will for our lives at that stage. Because if you're not sure, you can't go in faith and go do something wondering if you're doing the right thing. You must know this is what God told you to do. Number four here is put your faith in the right place. Now, why I say that is never put your faith in your capabilities and in your resources. I can give you a bad example here. Is when the property market was very, everything went well in the property market and so on. I made a lot of money and I looked at my resources and I bought a lot of properties. Now, my faith wasn't in God. My faith there was in my resources. And then when the property market changed, everything changed. And then I couldn't just stand in faith and said, okay, but God, I'm trusting you to take me through this, because my faith never was in God for that other properties. My faith was in my resources. So what God did, he took the resources away to get my faith back onto him. And that's why I say it's always put your faith in the right place. Put your faith in God. Now, when we talk about put your faith in God, you need to know who God is. You need to know what he's capable of. Because if you're wondering about his capabilities, you won't be able to trust him for stuff. If you don't know his heart for you, you won't be able to trust him. Because you need to get to a point where you can say, God, I know who you are. I know your capabilities. I know your heart for me. And that's why I can give my whole life into your hands. And I can say, God, this is my life. Do with it whatever you like. But do we pray that way? We don't. Because what's God going to do if I tell him, take my life and do it with it whatever you want? And you see, if we're struggling there, if we can't pray and tell God that he can do with our lives whatever he like, it means that we don't trust God. And if you're not trusting him, it's impossible to have faith in him. And, you know, that's why it's so important to spend time with him and to find out who he really is. And something a little bit different is when we talk about God's capabilities, Louis Giglio got all this DVDs and stuff like Indescribable and Awesome God and that kind of stuff. And if you look at that kind of DVDs, you realize how big God is, what he's capable of, where they're talking about the different planets and the Milky Ways and all this stuff and how he created everything and so on. They show you photos and the sizes of the stuff and so on. Then you realize how big God is and how small you are. And if you realize that, then you start to realize the capabilities of God. And that's why I say is we need to put our faith in the right place. Now, the next thing is positive thinking and talking. I want to read Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue is the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Positive thinking and talking. You know, when you're walking in faith, and when you're doing things that people of this world will not normally do, don't go tell everyone what you're doing. Because if you do that, it basically what happens is people will start without realizing it, they'll start cursing what you're busy doing. I remember back then for us as well, especially like in our own families and so on, they were saying, yeah, but it can't work like that. God doesn't work like that. How can you just pray and ask God, He must give you a car? God can't give you a car like that. God won't give you a car like that. You understand what happens then? Is all these curses comes onto this promises of God, or all this where you need something, basically, all these curses comes onto that. And it basically it makes it takes longer for that promises from God to come through in your life. So every day we basically what we did is we prayed every evening and asked God, you know, all the curses of the day and the stuff that was proclaimed, negative stuff that was proclaimed over us and over our lives, we ask you to break it down and to cancel it in Jesus' name and so on. But we realized then is we can't go tell everything to everyone. We rather go to people that's praying with us and tell them, listen, we trust in God for this thing. Pray with us. Trust God with us. You can't go tell everything to everyone. And then be positive. You know, when you're in that place, you stand up in the morning and ask God, God, is today the day of my healing? God, is today the day of when I will receive that car that I'm trusting you for? You understand? Stand up every day with this, where you proclaim over that day the blessings of God and the promises of God and the stuff that you will basically change in your lives. Another one is in Romans 10 verse 17. And Franz used the scripture this morning. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So what it means, I almost want to say in plain Afrikaans, in plain English, is read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, your faith can't be built up. You need to read your Bible, you need to know the promises of God, and also through that, you start to learn who God is, and again, what His capabilities are, but also what His heart is for you. And the last thing here is after you have succeeded, testify about it and give God the glory. Because remember, when God does stuff in your life, it's not about you. It's not only for you. It's to change the lives of the people around you. Because when we walk that path, if I can put it that way, is out of my family, I was the only one that was saved. And after that, my whole family was saved. My brother, my sister, my brother and sister was in church here today. Both my parents and so on. And it's because of a testimony that they saw of what God is capable of and how alive God actually is. When we're talking about miracles and stuff, we're not talking about the stuff of the Old Testament. We're talking about the stuff that He's doing today in our lives. Because we're serving a living God. We're not only serving a God that lived in the Old Testament, it's a God that lives today. And the reason why we don't experience His miracles today is not because of something He's doing, it's because of something we're not doing. It's because we're not getting into His presence. We don't want to find out from Him what His will is for each and every one of us for today, for our lives, for this next season, and we don't walk in faith. And you know, I know it's a very nice testimony to be able to tell someone that God blessed me with a building and God blessed me with a car and everything. But even though that happened only 5 years ago, then you, without really realizing it, you move away from it. You stop walking in faith. And you get to a certain point at some stage again where you're just thinking, but why is everything such a mess? Why is everything, how did I get here? And it's because for me, for instance, when you stop focusing on God and you start to focus on yourself and the stuff that you want and the stuff that you need and that kind of stuff, then you move away from God. And that's why it's so important through everything that we need to be able to keep on focusing on God and to keep on having a relationship with Him. So, yeah, I hope tonight this testimony and a few scriptures around it means something to you. And I just wanted to say, you know, it's Faith isn't for just someone special or anything like that. It's for anyone. And there's also a scripture where God says that if you need faith, you let people pray it over you and so on. But yeah, I think it's we're really in a season where with what's coming, I believe, that we all of us need to stand up and need to walk in faith and live in faith and change our lives. That we must stop looking at our capabilities and our own resources and look at God's and realize that through Him we are capable to do anything. So yeah, if I can just ask you to close your eyes again, please. Thank you, Father, that we were together tonight. And thank you, Father, that I had the privilege just to share again what some of the things that you did in my life. Some of the things that you did that changed our lives forever, Lord. And Father, I want to give you again just all the glory and all the honor for that. Because I realize, Father, that nothing of that was possible if you weren't in it. And Father, as difficult as it was, when I prepared this sermon, I just realized when you're on my side, everything is possible. And when you're on my side, I'm able to conquer anything and do anything. And Father, I want to pray over everyone that's here tonight, is that you'll just help everyone to realize that anything is possible for us if we walk with you and if we're willing to walk in faith. And Father, I want to ask you just to bless everyone here and where we're going out from this building tonight, that you'll just bless each and every one of us and that you'll protect us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So yeah, if there's any one of you that wants prayer, you can come to me afterwards. But yeah, thank you very much.